I'm longing for dear old Broadway, longing for dear old town. Yes, I'm longing to stroll on Broadway, watching the world go round. To be back where the boys all know me, back where the girls all bow.
This is the North Carolina Theater Story Show. I'm your host, Lynn Pryor. James Johnson is our technical director. We're coming to you from a 100-year-old house, former home of the Gilbert Theater, here in historic Haymont in Fayetteville, North Carolina. This is show number 6. Today's guest is Patty Cusso. Patty spent her entire life, including her life on the stage, in New York City. She moved here to Fayetteville 13 years ago. Welcome, Patty.
Thank you, Lynn.
I'm delighted to have you.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, I'm so glad, Patty, you're in the spirit of old radio. You arrived today in a trim little suit, hat and gloves, and pumps.
Yes, of course.
Well, you just look terrific.
Unlike, I don't do that for everyone.
Well, there it is. Unlike our technical director, James, couldn't you just dress up once or twice for our show? Never mind. I think I'm going to have to call your mother. Nevertheless, moving right along. Now, Patty...
It's my best overalls.
Now, overalls, okay, that would be better than a tie-dye shirt or something. But, okay, I'm sorry I brought it up. It's not very nice of me, but I had to say something because, Patty, it's such a contrast. And nevertheless, Patty, you know, we were just listening, weren't we, to Longing to Be on Old Broadway,
yes.
Our wonderful theme song,
yes.
Cole Porter. And, you know, you lived in New York and you've been on Broadway, off Broadway, and been there your entire life, but if you, after 13 years in Fayetteville, in the provinces, if you could go back and snap your fingers, be a starring role in a play you've written is being produced, directing, whatever, what would you do?
Well, Dad, never been on Broadway. I've been in many off Broadways, but if I could snap my fingers and make everything the way it was perhaps 13, 15 years ago, I would love to go back. And I know this is like a guilty pleasure, but I would love to go back and I would love to do Mrs. Lovett in Sweeney Todd.
Oh, wouldn't you?
It's kind of like a dream role.
I see. Well,
it's a little old for that now and long in the tooth. And I saw the wonderful production they did at CFRT and... if a dream were to happen, that would be my dream.
Well, I would be there in a minute on the front row. Now, Patty, You see before you a red box.
Yeah.
Now, in that box, this is our improvisation portion of our show. Not yet.
She's getting the vibes.
In a moment, you're going to open that lid, and you're going to find something there. It could be a postage stamp. It could be a cameo. It could be anything. You're going to take that out, then describe it to our audience, and then you're going to tell a story about that. Perhaps true, perhaps completely made up, or a combination. Are you ready?
Yes,
I am. Open that red box.
In a beautiful box it is. Oh my goodness. Oh, it's a beautiful, I'm thinking cigarette, but probably it's too small for a cigarette. It's a beautiful silver case with a shield on it that opens. I would imagine a cigarette box, which is really odd because I have always been a fan of cigarette cases, and I've had a couple for a lot of roles, and I always try to use them on stage, and it's usually just disastrous. It's like they'll fall out of my hand, the cigarette won't come out, it'll snap closed, it'll slip out of my hands, but this is beautiful. This is obviously a tabletop, and it could be a jewelry box for all I know, too, but cigarettes, oh my goodness, we love those.
Well, and you use them occasionally on stage, don't you?
Yes.
Thank you for that lovely thought, thinking about that beautiful silver box.
Yes.
Now, Patty, you know, I love your work on stage as a comedian. You know who some of my favorite comedians are? Joan Davis.
I was a devoted fan when I was a child.
Yes, yeah. I loved her work. She, Joan Davis was one. Another one was Joyce Grenfell, the English. Am I choosing
one of my favorites? One of my favorites. I can't get enough of her, and I can't find enough films with her.
Exactly. No. She. Yeah. Right.
She. It was. I mean, perhaps they get them all in England, and I've never gotten to see them, but. I saw The Bells of St. Trinian, and no one will know what that movie is.
It was with Margaret Rutherford.
It was with Joyce Grenfell, I think Margaret Rutherford, and Alistair Sim, who was one of my favorite actors. And she played this fussy gym teacher, and she was absolutely hysterical.
Yes.
She, just the most proper English dithering. She was brilliant. Brilliant.
Well, I am so glad to have somebody know who she was.
I know who she was.
Good. Joan Davis, Joyce Grenfell, and the fabulous Bea Lilly.
There you go. Another person who, if I ever bring it up in conversation, they go, huh? Who?
And if so many people remember her in that Julie Andrews movie,
Thoroughly Modern Millie,
where
she was in that.
She kept the boarding house,
yeah.
and was drugging the girls,
right,
and then selling them into light white slavery. So it's not a topic to usually. Laughter, but this. So those are my three favorites, but you're my fourth.
Oh.
As I've watched you.
I have big shoes. And probably in most of their cases, truly big shoes fill. Bea Lilly probably had nothing on me. She was probably a tall girl.
But I remember one of an earlier show that you were in with the Gilbert was that musical,
Ruthless.
And
I adored
it. That's before we were moved to our present location.
Adorable.
10 years ago.
What a great
and
show.
This, for those of you who don't remember it, this is a story of a theater family, and the little girl has been cast in a play, but not the lead.
No.
And she wants the lead, and so she murders the girl that got the lead.
Yes.
And then her mother says, "What did you do?" She says, "Well, mother, but dear, it's terrible to have done that. Mother, it was the lead." She said, "Well, that's all right."
Okay, then.
Now, your part, what you said...
I played the grandmother.
The grandmother.
The mother of the mother of this bad seed little girl. And she had a great number. I hate musicals, which is not the case for me, but it was a riotous song. It was a very clever song. The whole score was extremely clever. The piece was very clever. It was a great success in New York. I remember I lived there when it first opened.
I see.
And never got around to seeing it. It was like in my neighborhood. So I rue the day that I never got to do it.
But you did it here.
I got to do it. It was fabulous. Yeah. It was a great show.
The plot takes a twist and the mood is intense. Then someone sings a song like this. It doesn't make sense. Please! Musicals. I hate the new shows, they're nothing but sets. I miss the Von Trapp kids, the Sharks and the Jets. Up with those keyboards, give me real clarinets. Miss Otis says with no regrets, I hate musicals. There doesn't seem to be a shred of anything new.
Well, so... But everything you've done at CFRT or wherever, I follow you around.
Not too close.
Comedian, who was it that said, dying is easy, comedy is hard?
Something tells me.
It has to be.
I thought it was Oscar Wilde.
Oscar Wilde.
It has to be Oscar Wilde.
It has to be Oscar Wilde. So, yeah,
it's
not easy. Now, But let's leave. Now, is the, you were in a play right now, Patty, at Fayetteville Tech.
Yes.
In the Cumberland Room.
Yes.
Can't wait for it to open. We're going to talk about stuff like that, dates and so on, later in the program. But right now, you are in this play. Tell us about this play. Who's in? What's the title of the play?
The title of the play is The Water Engine, and it's by David Mamet. And there's also a curtain riser called Mr. Happiness, which is on the bill. It's one of his, I'm thinking, earliest plays. It was done in 77, 78. It's a very interesting play. It's based on radio. It's done by a bunch of radio actors in a studio in Chicago around the time of the World's Fair in Chicago. It's very period. It's almost a mystery. It has a lot to say today, as well as it did back then, about the corruption of government and the corruption of business and pure ideas that are never taken seriously or squashed for whatever greedy, avarice.
Yes.
Reasons.
Oh my gosh. Well, I can't wait. But a stellar cast.
A stellar cast. We have James Dean. We have Claudia Warger. We have James Johnson sitting right over there. I have to mention him. We have some people who have worked at FTCC, not with me, but Daniel Ahai, I think his name is, and a student from Methodist, Derek Smith. Who else? Who am I forgetting?
And who's directing?
Denver McCullough is in it. How can I forget?
How can we forget Denver?
Denver McCullough.
Yeah. Paul Wilson.
Paul Wilson from Methodist, who I've been in a couple of shows at CFRT, delightful guy. Everybody is really, really good. Very, very professional. It's really a nicely run deal.
And who's directing?
John Dorner.
All right, we all know him.
You know,
Fat Hack.
That Hack, that's right. Workaday him.
Who, speaking of our earlier days, after we left the house here, Patty, we were here for 8 years, the Gilbert was, and 49 plays, and we left overnight, and those were dark weeks when we didn't have a home. But we landed at the Arts Council Grand Gallery for 3 years there. And did wonderful work. We did wonderful work here, I like to think. But at the Arts Council, we did an original script that had Denver in it, and I'm embarrassed to say I can't remember the title of it.
Well, I'm going to have to ask him later.
And he played a collector of refuse, and he was having to work with an East Indian or someone, and he was didn't show American values at the best. That cast is just superb. So David Mamet, have you been in a David Mamet play?
No, I've never had the opportunity, pardon me, to be in a Mamet play. And the story behind this is, back in the very early 80s, my husband and I, John Dorner, was living in New York, and we got a hold of this script. It had just sort of closed on Broadway. It ran very limitedly. It was not a big success. But we had a group of people and a kind of production company, and all of us were actors and sort of producing types, and we wanted to do it. We cast it. We got a venue, a sweet little theater in the West Village, and the rights were not released. I begged them in letter. I sang songs over the phone. I begged on my knees, please let us do this. He withheld the rights because perhaps he just didn't think it was... He wanted to revisit it or whatever. But it never happened. And John got the opportunity this summer to produce something, to direct something. And he came up with it. And I had forgotten about it. 30 years has gone by.
I see.
Forgotten all about it. And I said, yeah, do you think we can Do we have to go through the same thing we did with the begging and the lawyers and the ha? And he said, let me just look online. And sure enough, a couple of rep companies across the country are doing it. And I said, get the rights to that. And that's what we're doing.
Oh,
it's been a dream.
Well,
it's been a dream.
Well, dream come true.
Yay.
Thank you. Well, I can't wait. Now, Patty, let's talk about... When I see a performance, as I did recently with Streetcar Named Desire, the actress playing Blanche, a superb performance, and I look at her on stage, and through the years, look at this one, that one, and one of the common denominators they have in my book, and I'm interested to see what you have to think about it, is that they are deeply relaxed on stage. Mm. Then they build the character on top of that. What do you think?
I positively agree with you. Most of the people that I've seen and I've appreciated most on stage have been people who look, now this may not be the case in every scenario,
yeah,
but when I look at their performance, there is something so... no guards, no neuroses, unless it's part of the character.
Yeah,
but I can look at the actor and I can see that person is happy to be there,
yeah,
is prepared,
mm-hmm,
is relaxed, knows where they're going, where they came from, and that's all that, you know, that's the whole natural idea. I most appreciate people who are natural on stage,
yeah,
as if they live
right
there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, so anyway, I don't know how actors can achieve that. Through the years, I have wanted to just sometimes, you know, have people, well, I think I've done this, just ask people to just lie down and just completely fall into the stage. And just let your eyes relax, everything about you, and then have them experience that feeling,
mm-hmm,
of being deeply relaxed.
Yeah.
Drug use. That'll
help.
Heavy drug use.
Yeah. Heavy drug use. Thanks, Jean.
Or drinking.
We can't do without your contribution. yes, relaxation. Now let's talk about comedy. As a genre, something that you've experienced many times. You know, something when I'm watching a so-called comedy on television, there's one show with my favorite, one of my favorite English actresses, Judi Dench, in that As Time Goes By.
I watch it whenever I can.
But you know what? Well, and I find it charming, mm-hmm, and I find it... watching her and all that, but you know, I find myself just rarely laughing. I know maybe British sense of humor, alone sitting here alone. But what always annoys me is when they put the laugh track on, and it has nothing to do
with the true laughter.
And I say, now you should find this funny. And I always, frequently, I say, well, you know, you don't have to tell me. And frankly, I don't find that funny. So, to you, talk about comedy, if you would, Patty. What's the essence of comedy, and how does it work best?
Oh, my God. The essence of comedy.
It's a big offer.
I don't know. That's a large plate,
yeah,
to dig into. All I know about comedy, and this is the truth, and I learned this in college from a very... I learned actually how to do comedy from two teachers. One was my college teacher, Sidney Lee, who was not a comedian. He was just a director and an instructor.
Uh-huh.
But he seemed to like me in comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him once, I said, Sidney, why do you keep casting me in this? He goes, because it's true. You are what you are. And when you do this particular character, there is something truthful that comes from it. And it's funny.
That is funny.
And it's funny.
Right, yes.
And I have found that no matter what script, what kind of comedy, I've done farces, I've done, you know, what you call situation comedy, I've done parlor comedy, you know, every genre of comedy, it's all comedy, no matter how you slice it. It's always the truth. You approach it like you would any other role. It's just you have to find the truth of this person or the truth of what they want out of whatever situation they're in. And if you play that, and hopefully it is written well, and you've got the words to make the comedy happen, easy deasy.
Yeah.
And I hate to say that.
Well,
comedy is hard.
Well, that was an excellent, just an excellent.
It's just all the truth.
Yes, you know, I used to have signs all over. When the theater was downstairs, I had 3x5 cards, and I would write little things on them. I found one of them the other day, and I don't think I can find it. Here again, it said, "Tell the story, tell the truth."
Absolutely.
And that's the one remaining one I found with all that stuff downstairs. Anyway, thank you for that analysis. That's terrific.
Nice.
And thinking of, again, of Joyce Grenfell, that's exactly what she would do, wouldn't it?
Yeah, great actress. I've seen her in non-comedies,
and
she's just as good.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Patty, I think it's time for your sonnet.
Oh, God.
And which number did you choose?
I believe it's 30.
Number 30.
Number 30. Now, I have to excuse myself because the one thing I don't do well is Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. Never have, probably never will.
Will you have us laughing at this tragedy, at this very sad sonnet?
It is kind of a depressing sonnet, but it's actually my favorite.
Okay? All right.
So, when to the sessions of sweet, silent thought I summon up remembrance of things past, I sigh the lack of many a thing I sought, and with old woes new wail my dear time's waste. Then can I drown on an eye unused to flow for precious friends hid in death's dateless night, and weep afresh love's long since cancelled woe, and moan the expense of many a vanished sight. Then can I grieve at grievances foregone, and heavily from woe to woe till o'er the sad account of four bemoaned moan, which I knew pay as if not paid before. But if the while I think on thee, dear friend, all losses are restored, and sorrows end.
Oh, beautiful. No,
it's a great. Husband can recite it.
One of his
by things, memory.
I see. No.
And that's the one love a lot.
Well, too. I'm so glad you shared it. And that's where Proust got his title, isn't it?
I believe so.
Right.
I haven't. Lynn, you made me go back and read sonnets. Now I haven't done that for years. Quite frankly, it was. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. I'm glad. Thank you for sharing that. Now, you know, Patty, before we started taping our show, we were just chatting about this and that, and you were shared with me that recent years you have found yourself getting very nervous before auditioning, so much so that you felt you were handicapping yourself on you know what ordinarily you just do with no problem at all.
Gotcha.
So I'm sorry, but you're finding that true, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I thought this was the time for us to call on the big guy, Saint Genesius, and the patron saint of actors and theater in general, to enlist his help. And so I've written up a prayer. I hope you find it
most.
I hope that his guidance comes down to you. And so here it is. Dear Saint Genesius, please advise your faithful follower, Patty, about a problem she has while auditioning. It seems she loses confidence as she approaches the stage. Do you agree with me when I urge her to begin flirting with the director the moment she arrives at the theater? A wink or two directed at the producer never hurts either. And if the part seems to be slipping from her grasp, I suggest she begin ugly rumors about her competitors. Dear Saint Genesius, We appreciate your attention to this common concern among your flock. I remain your devoted follower, Lynn.
I love it.
You think I'll be helpful?
I think I can.
All right.
Do some of those All right. things. But I certainly can snipe at my competition.
Well.
That I can do. I don't know about the flirting. I don't think anyone's interested any longer. But sniping at my fellow competitors, definitely.
Well, quiz time, darling.
Oh,
quiz time,
goodness.
Darling. Okay, now, there are going to be three parts to this quiz. And, and James is going to be keeping score if he...
I love a test.
Three parts. I only have one
three part.
Sheet.
Well, you'll get... Okay, you'll get it. All right, the first part of it, Patty, is I'm going to name... This is all about celebrated theatrical couples.
Oh.
I'm going to give one member of that couple, and you are to name the second.
Yeah, okay.
Laurence Olivier.
Vivien Leigh.
Matt Lamb.
Oh! Robin Parrish.
Hume Cronin.
Oh, Jessica Tandy.
James Dean.
It ain't me. Claudia Rada.
Richard Burton.
Oh, Elizabeth Taylor.
John Dornier.
Oh, the fabulous Patty Kuchar.
All right, how'd she do, James?
I think she got all of them.
She got Yoo-hoo! All of them right. Very, very good. Now, if you would turn your sheet over,
Oh.
And there you're going to
surprise!
See, you are going to see listed there, it's hard to believe, but there are 9 theatrical venues in this town. And we could add a 10th if we included the theater out there at the Coliseum. But I didn't. Anyway, now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the size of the theater, the seating capacity.
Okay.
And you are to look through here and come
up. Oh, and then I have to match them up.
You have to match it.
Gotcha.
You have to match.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me for the seating. And boy, I started running the numbers.
All right. All right, here's the first one. I'm giving you a seating count, and you're naming the theater.
Okay.
99.
I'm going to say the Butler Theater at FSU.
No, unfortunately, it's the Gilbert.
Damn, you have that.
All right. Okay, 335.
I'm going to say KFRT.
CFRT, correct. Good. Now, let me just tell you, I'm going to mix these all up, but I should have mentioned this before. I've included the Cameo Art House Theater. Because first one thing, they didn't say cinema when they showed up. I've kidded Chris and I've seen about that. Cameo Art House Cinema, but no, people will go there and think they're going to see a live play, or they'll come to us and say they think they're going to see a movie. anyway... But I've included the Cameo in our quiz. Why? Because on occasion, they have live theater.
Mm-hmm.
The improv group is there for months. And they have music is there, too.
Years ago, the Vagina Monologues.
And the Vagina Monologues, that's right. Gilbert is doing the Vagina Monologues again next season to close the season. And I see you auditioning with flirting with the director.
Yeah.
As you go walk in, Patty.
You ain't gonna work.
But
Brian's directing that, Brian Klein, so it'll be easy.
Really? Oh, okay.
Anyway, we did it a dozen years ago, very successfully at the Cameo. So yeah, so that's why I included that. So let's go on and see. All right, 200.
You know, I'm going to guess Fayetteville Tech.
I'm sorry. No. All right.
Who's got 200?
All right. Okay. I'll tell you. I'll go down the list in a minute.
Okay.
All right.
I gotcha.
All right. 1,110.
That's got to be the Seabrook.
Correct.
Really?
That's correct. All right. Now, something else I failed to mention or should have mentioned. that, you know, out there at Methodist University, they have Reeves Auditorium. And now it's now called Huff Concert Hall, but anyway, I think of it as Reeves Auditorium. But when they want to do a small play, they use the stage, don't they? They have the stage on the stage. What does the stage on the stage hold in terms of... No, I'm sorry, I'm doing this backwards. All right, okay, I'm really fouling this up, I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right, okay.
This is a hard test.
Bring
back the couples.
Mary?
Bring back
the couples. Okay, all right, we should probably scratch this whole thing. Okay, 150.
150 is what?
Seating.
150. Then I'm going to say, I've already guessed that wrongly. The butler?
No, I'm sorry.
See?
All right. All right. 125.
I'm going to say the stage on stage at Methodist.
No, I'm sorry.
See, there you have it. If I don't play on it, I don't know. I don't know how
right,
many
all right.
All
right. 350.
That I'm going to say Fayetteville Tech.
Fayetteville Tech, Cumberland Hall Auditorium.
Yeah.
Good for you. That is always very deceiving to walk in there.
I know.
To see a play. You would never guess it'd be that many.
Yes.
As many or more than Reeves Auditorium.
It's big.
Than the CFRT. Well, Patty, I kind of messed up on this, but you did. Here's the rundown.
Don't be ridiculous.
Gilbert Theater, 99. CFRT, 335. Cameo Art House, 125.
Ah.
Reeves Auditorium, 1100.
Wow.
Reeves Stage on Stage, 90. Fayetteville Community Cumberland Hall, 350. Butler Theater at FSU is 200.
Ah.
And Seabrook Auditorium is 111.10. Poe House Garden Stage is 150.
Okay.
Anyway, we got through that, you.
I'm sorry.
I forgot to mention. I forgot to mention that if you do well on our quizzes, you get a fabulous book. It's called The Star Is Found: Our Adventures Casting. Speaking of casting and auditioning, some of Hollywood's biggest movies.
Yeah.
It's really a fun book, but you're getting it. If you did well, on it, and so James,
I'm just saying that.
Are you just mocking her?
That
weird
seating
quiz.
No. Okay, we had our challenges. So now, if you can get these two right, the book is yours. This is a cleanup.
Okay.
This is Shakespeare. These three characters appear in what Shakespearean comedy? Prospero, Caliban, Sebastian.
The Tempest.
If you get the second one right, A Star Is Found is yours. Peter Quince, Oberon, Nick Bottom.
And my husband tells me I always say this wrong. A Midsummer Night's Dream.
The book is yours!
Yay!
I will apologize to our audience for my completely fouling up that game.
No!
But there it is.
Like I said.
It makes our audience aware that we have 9 performing spaces in this town.
And they're all listed here.
Now, Patty, we're going to share our books. And why don't you share your book first?
I understand from you that this was the book when you asked me to bring a book that I loved or that has helped me. This is the book that has helped me most. And I understand someone else brought it in, which makes me think I'm not a total idiot. It's Uta Hagen, and it's a challenge for the actor. It's not a respect for acting, which I also have, which I also love. But this book is just so incredibly helpful to me, and I will refer to it whenever there's a problem or whenever I have an unclear thought about how to play something or how to make this moment work. I studied with Uta for 2 years, She was a great lady, crazy, nutsy, but she was a god. Mm-hmm. She could just look at you and tell you, you did this, and this wrong. Now just go back and do it again and do it right. This helped me when I read this.
My goodness.
It was like all her exercises.
Yes. Well,
those listening should know that there's nobody here performing a drum solo.
Is that me? What am I slapping? Slapping my book.
Well, having that book create that noise is perfectly all right, James, because it emphasizes the importance of it. It is my all-time favorite too. We used to own about a dozen copies at Gilbert, and I would make sure that the people's directors and so on had access to it.
It's a great book.
Sharing is Acting Under the Circumstances, Variations on a Theme of Stanislavski.
Uh-huh.
And this book is by Richard Prestoff, and he says, our greatest task is to personalize the part, the circumstances. Play gives us circumstances, and we have to personalize it. And he gives you all the different exercises and things to do just that.
Oh, so you have a textbook too.
Yeah.
Very cool.
We both have textbooks.
We both pick textbooks.
And at the end of it, he has three or four pages on studying a sonnet. And so
I must read that.
So in the future, this is going to be a feature from now on. Since we started, everybody has to read a sonnet.
I love it.
And when Robin Parrish was here, speaking of Robin, for our first show, she had studied in London with Ian McClellan, and he required them to learn a sonnet. And she sat here and she said, I'm going to share the one that I presented to him in this class. And she said, of course, I still have it memorized. And she sat here and, so that these, I've been loving these summits. It's just been marvelous. Well, you know, we have our mailbox now, Patty. Every week we been getting a lot of mail, but some of it has not been very complimentary. I'm sorry to say.
Oh,
it's been rather cruel. Some of it,
uh-huh.
And telling me to keep my day job. So I've just taken it like a trooper and proceeded to pray to St. Genesius in the vein of that, you see, the vein.
Yeah.
So with some of these people, better watch out. Never mind. But here we are, semi-complimentary emails this week. And we seem to be blocking out the sky over the Philippines. We got several very unhelpful letters from the mail from the Philippines, and that something has happened. I don't know what it is. Maybe this, I was so annoyed. One week I said, I had to ask this question: do we still own the Philippines? And I thought if it were true, that maybe I could write my congressman. But nevertheless, I'm told that no, they're making it on their own. But anyway, thank heaven we're not hearing from the Philippines. Now, but here's a letter, a note really, that is heartwarming, Patty. It seems the writer has written a play and wonders if the Gilbert might have a look. Well, let me say all of this to our listeners, Patty. Plays are expensive to produce, so we would need upfront money.
Yeah.
Say $100 before we would take the risk of presenting a play from a nobody. Anyway, keep those cards and letters and emails coming.
Yes.
Tweets and coming. So there's so much for the mailbox. I find it very uplifting, and I think our audience probably does too. Now we come to our birthday list. Judy Garland was born this week in 1922.
Really?
Bless her heart. You know, sometimes people will say, Lynn, what is your favorite 20th century performer? Female. And I'll always say Judy Garland. This is Frederick Lowe was born on this date in 1904. Malcolm McDowell, 1943.
Really?
He keeps working one great thing after another. And then here's another Brit, Terence Rattigan, one of my favorite playwrights.
Wow.
born on this date in 1916. So there's the birth date list. Now let's go to call board. Okay, let's do the numbers and dates on your play.
Okay. The water engine, Mr. Happiness, will run Friday, I believe, June 19th, 20th, and a matinee on Sunday the 21st. I believe it's a 7 o'clock curtain, and matinees are 2 p.m., and then it will run the next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and I probably have this 27, 28, 29, uh-huh. possibly. Help me with that. You are brilliant. No, make that the 26th, the 27th, and the 28th.
All right. Well, now, can you give a...
It's free,
and it's always, I rarely miss anything there. Love the folks in every aspect of that, the Dennis and the other leadership, mm-hmm. and your husband. We have a rich theater available this week. Sweet Tea Shakespeare is presenting The Cherry Orchard, and it opens on the June... For this Wednesday,
wow.
I mean this Thursday, and I'm going to opening night. Robin Parrish and I are going, and June 14th, and Thursday through June 14th, and June 18th through the 21st. 7 p.m. I'm going to be late because I'm singing at the Swamp Dogs. My barbershop group is singing at the Swamp Dogs. The national anthem. I can't go to opening night, as it turns out. I'll have to call Robin because it's 7 o'clock. But I'll make it another night. So the fabulous Chekhov play, The Cherry Orchard, in the garden at the Poe House. It's a wonderful space, great parking, and they were so long at the Botanical Garden, Cape Fear, but they're no longer there. But the Poe House is this fine venue for them. And I'm so glad they found a home. Then the Gilberts' final weekend is this weekend, Patty. Friday night, final performance of the book club play. Mm. I've already seen it 4 times, loving it. And audience laughing without any laugh track. And the humor is right there in front of you, and it's, you're going to love it. So that runs through Friday nights, 2 performances on Saturday, Saturday at 2, Saturday at 8, and Sunday matinee. So that's call board for today.
One more thing, which yes, people James. Should be aware of, is that the 3rd annual Pryor Awards, named for I don't know who, will be happening on June 16th at 6 p.m. There'll be food, wine, entertainment, an award ceremony, and it's a fundraiser for the Gilbert Theater, and a really great fun event, and you know, you get to see a lot of really amazing performances from local artists.
And the Nonsense Class, thank you, James. The Nonsense Class cast is coming back to do some songs from Nonsense, and there's silent auction, and at 6 o'clock on Tuesday, goodness knows I'll be there awarding the Best Actor Award. For the season. And I will just be finding out, opening the envelope, finding out myself for that moment, at that very moment.
And then this is the first year they're doing a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Lifetime Achievement Award. We shan't say who, but it's not me. And I'm deeply hurt, but I'm very hurt. But when I heard who beat me out, I had to say very grudgingly, good idea. Now, Patty, I am going to say this to you, and we talked about this about a little bit. What is the universal question?
Oh, well, I don't know.
And I'm going to answer that next time. The universal question.
Cliffhanger.
Now, this is Lynn Pryor. Oh, but before we start the close, there will be no podcast next week because we are all going to be at the Pryor Awards. This is Lynn Pryor asking James to dim the lights and go to black while I urge you all to find a play to see this week. So until week after next Thursday, Thanks for your company.
For a longing for dear old Broadway, longing for dear old town. Yes, I'm longing to stroll on Broadway, watching the world go round, to be back where the boys all